to Making Impact series, where we talk to life science thought leaders about how they are making impact at their work and in their communities. I am your host today, Helen Konozopoulos, a co-founder of Odea.ai and also an adjunct professor at the Department of Computer Science at the University of Toronto. Today, I am really happy to welcome Preeti, the founder of Obesity Matters. Welcome to the show, Preeti.
I am so excited to be here today. Thank you, Helen. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You know, we only met a few months ago, and I think about a lot about what you're working on and how important it is to your community. And I really was thinking it would be great to have you on the show to showcase what you're working on, why it's important, and also to, you know, when we're talking to leaders like yourself, we always wonder what your origin story is. So I'd love to hear how you got to this point.
Sure. So I have been involved in the world of obesity for 15 years, running educational programs for a weight loss clinic, and subsequently volunteering for Obesity Canada, where I got to interact with world leaders in obesity management. And this involvement in obesity has given me a unique perspective on how to approach this disease, which I will get into in more detail. So why did I start Obesity Matters? There are three major reasons that stand out. First, I wanted to address gaps in patient care and advocacy due to the pervasiveness of weight stigma in our society. So whether it's in the workplace, in the media, in education, or even within a circle of family and friends, weight bias and fat shaming, you know, can have a serious impact. It can be a negative impact on society, the societal, the psychological, and the physical health of people who are living with excess weight. And unfortunately, that weight bias extends to the healthcare system, where obesity is still not recognized by the government of Canada as a chronic disease. So that fact in itself is a symptom of weight bias, and it's led to countless people not receiving the proper care that they deserve. So our goal is to fill that advocacy void and push for better policy while changing how people fundamentally view obesity, which leads me to the second reason I started Obesity Matters. I know what it feels like. My passion is to make a difference to this marginalized and stigmatized community because I know firsthand what it feels like. My teenage years were a constant tussle as one of the chubbier girls in my school, and I was often a victim of weight bias and discrimination by students as well as teachers. I went on strict salad diets, and you know, back in the day in India, the salad diets was like cucumber, tomatoes, and cabbage, and crazy exercise routines, but they never lasted, and so I just regained the weight. This was so frustrating, and it affected my self-esteem, which I grapple with even to this day. So I know exactly what the struggles of the community are firsthand. And my goal was to build an organization led by individuals with the same lived experience. Helen, it's the lived experience of the people working with Obesity Matters that will be the guiding force in advocating for real change. We know best where the gaps are in the system and what the people need to have a more successful health journey. So once we had the organization in place, the next step was to bring people together who had experienced the same struggles and victories, which brings me to the final reason why I founded Obesity Matters. And that was to build a nurturing and passionate community while offering tools and support that guide people towards better health and empowerment. And so far, the response and the traction has been awesome. So that pretty much sums up the origin of Obesity Matters, unless you had any questions.
No, this is, you covered all the points, and I think the parts that, there's multiple things, and I'll ask about multiple parts of that. It's congratulations for creating also a community like this, starting something off that, being able to be an advocate for patients and an advocate for them and their families and also the stakeholders around them. What are the different types of stakeholders that are in your community? Like, who are the ones who play a big role in these individuals' lives?
The stakeholders that we are wanting to target, they would be definitely the caregivers, the healthcare providers, family, friends. It would be employers, insurers, government, the policymakers, media and influencers, corporations and associations, and of course, the community members who are living with excess weight. So, directly or indirectly, we do want to really target and reach out to all of them because they all have to work together in order for any change to come to place.
Those are that's a lot of stakeholders. That's a whole community. That's a lot of people to influence and educate. What are some of the initiatives you're working on that are like, who are the first stakeholders you're trying to reach out to and first ones you want to influence? So what kind of
Right.
initiatives are you working on to help with that?
Yeah. So the first stakeholder I would say would be to bring in the community, right? Because we are an advocacy group. So the goal is really to build that community. And we launched Obesity Matters last year, 3rd of March 2021, with our Eat, Play, Love Spotlight series. And there was interactive events with expert guest speakers who share our passion for creating change within the community impacted by obesity. So this awareness program was like the funnel to bring these people into the OM community or the Obesity Matters community. These were mainly people who are living with excess weight, going through struggles, wanting to lose weight, wanting to have better health outcomes, wanting to get access to treatment. So this was our first target audience, and this was the funnel to bring the people into the Obesity Matters community. And we ran 18 episodes in 2021, growing our reach to more than 2 million. So the next step was to serve and support this community. And based on the feedback we received, we soon realized that many of these individuals were now looking for actionable solutions, such as live workshops to show them the how and tools and resources that they could use to manage their health better. So this led to the development of the Eat Better, Live Better workshop series on nutrition, which featured a multidisciplinary team of obesity medicine specialists, dietitians, a personal development and wellness coach, as well as a patient advocate, because we had to have somebody who's been there with a lived experience. And so now we will be building on these strategies going forward by hosting more, hopefully, in-person and virtual hybrid community events so that we can reach a wider audience, as well as expanding the Eat Better, Live Better workshop, to include physical activity, sleep, mindfulness, and self-love, because weight stigma is so often internalized. And one more thing, just in this context, Helen, is that on World Obesity Day of this year, Obesity Matters launched the top 10 predictions of what the future might look like And this is something I'm going to share with you at a, maybe at a later time, because this is an initiative that would involve the different stakeholders. And this initiative was disseminated through our partners, HealthInc, which is the National Health Portal for Post Media. And they're also Canada's most comprehensive destination for health-related information, tools, and resources for patients, caregivers, and practitioners. And so we were thrilled that this was the top health story for World Obesity Day. And it was actually covered across various publications across Canada, including National Post, as well as a lot of their social media platforms. And so, following the success of this campaign, we want to build those resources for each prediction. And so, along with like creating awareness in the population, our goal is to really get more engagement from the stakeholders that I mentioned before in order to really make sure that policies are changing and, you know, to really lead our community to like better and healthier outcomes.
I think the congratulations, not bad, like amazing what you can do in 1 year. And also the amount of community you have built up around in just in 1 year. Congratulations. I wanna say this is very amazing. And I think when I met you and you're telling me and I telling me about what you're working on, I think this is where a lot of those initiatives, being someone who, you know, for me, fat shaming has been a major issue for me, and you know, since being a little kid, to it's hard being a seamstress daughter. I'm always being measured by eye and by literally by, you know, literally by measurement, and never being the person who's gonna ever be a model kind of look. But you can be now. You can
You
be anything.
can
You
be.
can be
Of
anything you
course, you
want,
can be a
really.
model.
Exactly. Like I think that's what, like, you know, growing up as you know, a kid in the 80s and 90s, it was like there was a look, and there was a lot of anything that didn't fall within that look was a lot of shaming, and I felt that continuously, and I've always struggled with my weight, and so I think this is where a lot of your programs. I went online. I was like, this is great. I love the mindfulness. I, you know, for me, it's, you know, this is. For me, this year has been my kind of Adele year, or you know, I call it the, you know, how do I change? How do I change this year to be the health year? But health of thinking about health in a way that is saying, I was okay. You know, I look back at pictures I was looking at yesterday. I'm okay. You know, I was okay, and I think the what happens is we psychologically are so harmed by these things. That this is why we get into a vicious cycle where we can't get out of. And I realized we had to work more on our minds and our thinking around who we are, and how society sees us. So when you talk about policy, when you talk about, you know, initiatives around, you know, changing biases, I think this is very, very important. So what has been some of the roadblocks when it comes to thinking about how you change biases in policy or biases in just society?
So, Helen, I love that you brought the fact about the whole even internalized weight bias and stigma, right? Because very often it's the people themselves who are living with excess weight. They are their worst enemies, right? And they have so much of internalized stigma. That's why, you know, you follow us on social media. We almost two or three times a week we are posting on self-love, on gratitude. And you know what? It's okay to love yourself because we really want this community to get out of that whole internal stigma. Of course, they've got a lot of external factors who are affecting this, but they themselves have to feel better about themselves. And so what you were saying is that what are the roadblocks, right? So the first thing is it's this internalized stigma. So we really want that the Canadians who are living with overweight and obesity We want them to feel empowered. We want them to, really start loving themselves more. We don't want this internalized stigma to really affect them in their health outcomes or in their goal or in their journey towards, leading a healthier life. We always talk about non-scale victories. It's not about size, it's about your health. And, there's been this whole, and even with the healthcare providers or in the healthcare industry, all along, the doctors have just, what did they tell you? Oh, you know what? Just eat less and move more, and move more. And they think that's like the magic bullet. Well, if it was that simple, like nobody chooses to be fat, so to speak, right? Like it's not a choice. And if it was eat less and move more was so easy, nobody would be in this situation. So it's a damaging message. And now we really want this swapped with evidence-based messages, like go to doctors. So one of the goals is, it has to have a push and pull effect where, the doctors, they have to change their attitude. And I know that, doctors are now going to be, are being educated. There's a lot of doctors who have been educated. They know how to treat patients. So just treating doctors is one piece of the puzzle. But to complete it, we've got to have the patients also asking for help. So we have the doctors who have to change their behaviors now, and then also activating the patients. I don't like to use the word patients, but I would say the people who are living with excess weight. So I would call them more our community members. And we really, so these are like the two goals, is one to change behavior and one is to activate. So when they both work in tandem with each other, we feel that's when we can actually see some change happen, where the doctors need to have a customized approach with each of their patients. So they need to say, okay, maybe it's genetics, maybe it's hormones, what's your family history? What are the medications you're on? Maybe it was some medications. What Check out the genetic background, right? So there's so many factors. They could be psychological, they could be trauma, there could be so many issues that could be affecting a person's weight. So they really need to get out of this damaging message of eat less, move more, and coming up with more evidence-based messages. And also, there's this whole thing about the diet culture and commercial weight loss programs that people fall into. They fall into these traps. And why? Because there hasn't been anything that's evidence-based, evidence-based treatment. So now, there's more sort of evidence-based treatments coming out. There's more, they have this whole medical nutrition therapy, which has it's more credible, it's more customized. It's followed, it's sort of go, you can go to a doctor, and then you can have certain pharmacological interventions. However, there are some great interventions that have been approved, but unfortunately, a lot of the people in this category may not be able to afford it. So we are advocating in a very big way to, again, this is where government and policy comes, where we are hoping that some of these medications will get covered so that our community can have access to this care. And yeah, and so then there's the policy changes that are needed. And of course, we've already discussed that the stigma is really needs to be replaced with respect and positivity.
I totally agree. I think the respect part completely. And I think when the education of the doctor, so the HCP, and I think it's also the yourself, these are your, this is your information about your body, right? So, asking for certain things, I go to a nutritionist, and they said, get all this blood work done. Let's start educating you about what your blood is trying to say to you, right? This is very empowering because before it was, oh, you're fine, and you're like, and then you realize when you start looking at your blood work, you're like, no, I'm low in iron, I'm low in, I was extremely low in vitamin D. And it's like, and being able to get more information and more research and more understanding, you know, and now I'm taking a vitamin D and also an iron supplement, but I need to know about those supplements. I also need to know, you know, what other options do I have? But it has to be a holistic approach. And I think this is the issue, is I need to know what my options are. I need to understand how it'll impact my life. And it'll also, you know, the end goal for me is health, you know, and I, you know, I know that the, you know, eating well and moving, but there's all these other things that are happening in our lives. And, you know, and women and our men are going through a lot of things in their lives. And that I think sometimes these simple solutions don't happen with other diseases and other like issues that you go through your life. You know, somehow everything else is not as simple, but somehow this issue is simple. You know, it's always somehow like somehow this is supposed to be a simple solution, right? Eat, move, you know.
Yeah.
But what happens if I have a thyroid issue? What happens if I have other medications that I am taking because they might affect other things that I'm going through? You know, it could be, it's not a simple, I open a diet book and it's going to tell me what to do. Well, what happens when it's relating with other things in my life? And I think that holistic approach, I think, that's an underlying bias, that it's something simple, you know, something, it's so simple to do this, that underlying issue, and then not to go through and say, okay, well, you know, what else is happening in your life? Just like you said, what else is happening in your life?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you go with a knee pain and the first thing the doctor will say is, oh, you need to lose weight. And so everything then comes back to losing weight. And because, Helen, a lot of doctors are not even trained. So I work with a doctor and he would say, I don't even bring up the topic about weight because, first of all, I don't know how to deal with it. Like, what am I going to tell my patient? Because I don't know. There's no medication. Like for diabetes and hypertension, I would just say, okay, take this medication, right? And then you give them a prescription. But he says, I don't even know for dealing with obesity where to start. And so very often, and then they have limited time. And they feel, oh my God, like this involves a lot of counseling. And they themselves are a little bit intimidated. So then what happens is then the person the patient is just pretty much left on their own.
They are on their own. And I totally agree. I think nutrition is an elective, I think, at school, I think for a lot of doctors. So that doesn't help. And I think that's, and also then saying, what are the psychological implications? So the training around psychology, training around, you know, doctors are great. They're your partner in your life, you know, going forward, you know, this is not putting down any, you know, I work really closely with my doctor, but I also have a nutritionist. I also like, you know, this was my, like, I started, you know, right away saying, okay, I think I need a team, you know, and I need a team of people, including my family, to opt in to what's going on. I think that often part from everybody to say, look, my Thanksgiving dinner is not going to look like your Thanksgiving dinner. And that's the reality, you know, that's like, we're not, you know, this is my future. I need to work on. So there's a lot of opt-ins, I think, that I think you hear that a lot.
And that's why that was one of the goals when we started the workshop, the Eat Better, Live Better, is because a lot of the people who came in through that first funnel, when we asked them, what are you looking for? And they said that now we need help. You've told us what the issues are. How do we do this? How do we do that? And we said, just a dietitian or a nutritionist is not going to solve the problem. So that's why we decided to get a multidisciplinary panel. So we had like obesity medicine specialists, because they can deal with the whole science behind it. And then the craving part, then we have the dietitians, of course, to talk about the looking at the labels and how to have a healthy plate and, how you should have balanced meals. So for that, it's okay. And then we also had a personal coach to talk about affirmation, mindfulness, and then also a patient advocate. So really, it's closing that whole loop. And it's this multidisciplinary approach that I think is needed, in my opinion, to really help these people in our community.
And I think sometimes, that multidisciplinary approach is very important, because there's multiple people around you, right? So I think that's where you need the support. You'll have your maybe your kidney specialist, you might have you might have your gout specialist, like you might have multiple people around you. And I think the future of ourselves, our bodies, is multidisciplinary, but it's also that we're holding on to the data. I keep on talking about data a lot with people
Of
because I
course.
love data, but this is your personal data, and that's why it's important that you're tracking. But there needs to be ways of tracking. There needs to be a way of being able to empower yourself, like you said. It's the empowerment of the patient, empowerment of yourself and your data, to empower the data to say, look, this is my journey. How are you going to help it get into a happy path? Because right now it's not working, or I need support here and it's not working here. And so I think that those types of discussions that you're bringing up are really important. So I think also that you're a very data focused person as well. I think from our conversation in the past, I was like, yeah, she's good. She likes as much data as I do. So that was a very good indication that you're thinking about those things.
And actually, with the feedback we've even received from this workshop, we just finished it last month, is they want the 6 week to be expanded. So originally we had thought that, we'll take the whole eat, play, love segments and have different workshops. That was first one was eat better, live better, and then have the play better, live better, and then the love better, live better, which is so important, speaking about self-love. But now our participants, they said, we would love to see just a longer workshop. So instead of like a 6 week, let's do a 10 or a 12 week, and we incorporate the nutrition, which is very important, but then also sleep and physical activity, mindfulness, and self-love, of course, because we know that that's internalized. So that's one of the things we're super excited to be developing now.
I love the love part. I mean, I
Yeah,
love love,
I
right?
know.
I love the part because I think when you start loving yourself and realizing where you're at that point in your life and where you want to be in the future, but where you want to be right now, and if you start loving the process, I felt like things got a little bit easier for me when I started loving what I was doing and started kind of even romanticizing my food and my conversations and my relationships with my family, and just kind of saying, hey, and my friends, and starting to take care of myself in a much, I'm watching a lot of influencers, but a lot of the influencers I love the most are just like, this is who I am. I'm becoming better as a person. I'm healthy. I love the extreme athletes, but I also love the people who are just like, I love celebrating who I am at this moment. And from Lizzo to, to Adele. I mean,
Ashley Graham, yeah, and then
exactly. Like, I think for there's a spectrum of, of people, and I just and influencers that I think I just look up to, and I love them at every stage they're at, and because I'm at every stage that I'm at. So I think that's kind of the love part. Pretty, thank you for joining us today, but I want to have one more question that I ask all of our guests, and that is, in the future, your vision for Obesity Matters, what is your vision 5 to 10 years from now? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to take yourself and your organization?
Thank you. That's a really important and important question. So we want to grow our community. We want to have open conversations, and we want to offer support in a safe space where no one is discriminated against because of their size. We want to change policy so that evidence-based treatments are available to all who need it, regardless of race, sex, socioeconomic status, or any other factor. We also want to investigate the future and adopt partnerships with innovators like yourselves, be it in virtual medicine, AI, virtual reality, or with influencers and celebrities, exactly what you brought up, Helen, and I'm going to actually take you up on that, who can further disseminate the message of self-love. That is so important. And then we want our stakeholders who can help debunk the myth that obesity is a lifestyle issue and help us achieve our vision to create a future of weight acceptance where health and happiness are a priority. And we are also dedicated to providing evidence-based information. That's very important. We want credible resources to be out there and a community that accepts people of all sizes. We want to give people a platform, to the people with a lived experience, to share their stories of success, failure, trauma, and joy, just like the way you're sharing today. And we want to help individuals to become advocates for themselves so that they can take action to help transform these societal attitudes. And we practice what we preach at Obesity Matters because our community's problems reflect our own. So Helen, thank you so much for this opportunity. And we invite you and everyone watching or listening to this interview to join our growing community to help us fight for real change, whether this is through corporate partnerships, a volunteer opportunity, or even simply by following us on social media. You'll be adding to our passionate base of like-minded people looking to do some good in the world.
Thank you so much. And we'll be placing all the information at the bottom of the video so everyone can find all your social media links and all your resources that you have and you're providing. So yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, that's awesome. So do you need any information? Or I think our website has everything.
Yeah, you'll send it my way and we'll put it there and stuff. But thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Again, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Making Impact, where we talk to some amazing thought leaders in the life science community and where we really want to explore what they're working on and how they're making an impact in our lives and also in the wider community. Thank you again.